We'll be in Romans chapter 8 this morning, and I'll begin reading at verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word this morning and ask your blessing upon it. And pray, Father, the ministry of it to our hearts, that we might be greatly encouraged of these things, realizing that you are for us and not against us. And though all the world be against us, we still are victorious through Christ our Lord, and we give praise and thanks to you for your blessing and for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this passage this morning, we'd just like to use the theme, if you will, the Spirit helps our weakness. The Spirit helps in our weakness. As we recognize that in and of ourselves, we are weak. That is, we have realized of our sin and of our salvation is alone through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we pray and ask the Lord that he might bless us, that he might help us, that he might strengthen us, that he might give us a clear walk of faith and a hope and a work that would be pleasing to him. And so this morning we want to look at somewhat of the work of the Spirit. And though this is quite a lengthy passage, we'll look at the most of it as we have time. First of all, the Spirit helps us pray. Well, have we ever wondered just how to pray? I think perhaps all of us have thought at times when we go to prayer, we might even say, Lord, I don't know as I have the words to pray today. I don't even know how to pray sometimes, or that my prayers, or we might even say in a very kind of lacking faith way, we might say, Lord, are you listening to me today? And we do feel that way at times, don't we? But we find, you see, that we have a helper, and the Spirit of God is our helper, that he might communicate for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The Spirit prays according to the will of God, you see. That's what the Spirit does. Well, you see, that's where we sometimes lack, don't we? We often ask, well, what is the will of God for my life right now? And we may even be praying about some particular area, and you have it on your mind, and you say, well, I don't know what your will for me, Lord, is in this matter, but I want to do your will. And we somewhat are confused about exactly what the will of God is for us at that particular moment. Well, we know that it is God's will that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it is God's will that we follow his commandments. We know that it is God's will that we pray and we seek him out. We listen and we want to be led according to the will of God. We know all of that. But you see, these circumstances, they keep changing in our lives, don't they? One minute we have this particular problem, and the next minute we have another, and then we are looking to God and asking for the Lord to lead us. But isn't it comforting to know that the Spirit of God prays according to the will of God for us? You see, the Spirit of God is not going to be confused on this matter. He is going to pray. He is going to communicate to God the Father according to the will of God for us. Now see, that should be a great encouragement. And then we have all things by the Spirit is by the eternal purpose of God. Well, I know we generally take this passage here in Romans 8:28, and we go far afield into theology. You know, we begin to expound theology, predestination, and all of this kinds of things, but I want you to look at it a little bit more closely at this particular time. I want you to look at it with the idea that as the Spirit of God intercedes for us, God's eternal purpose is going to be accomplished. God's eternal purpose is going to be accomplished, you see. And so, as God's eternal and unfailing purpose is that we might be in his will, and that we might know the will of God, and that the Spirit of God may truly lead us, then we are very much reliant upon the Spirit of God. We rely upon the Spirit of God. So we'd like to look at these several areas here this morning. First of all, in verse 26, he says, concerning the Spirit's indwelling, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It helps our infirmities. Well, the word for infirmities here is a very long word in the Greek language. And I won't even attempt to pronounce it, but it's made up of two different words. And the two different words signify two people who are, in a sense, helping one another, mutually helping one another to bear a burden. Well, it might be like, you say you have a dresser in your bedroom at home, and it's just too big to carry all by yourself. And so you ask a very close friend to come and help you to bear that burden. And you get on one end of the dresser, and the other person gets on the other end of the dresser, and you pick up the burden, the dresser, and you carry it to the desired location where you wish that things may, where it may rest, and where everything would be just fine. You see, this word is similar to that. The Spirit of God is on one end, and you are on the other. And he has the burden along with you, you see. That's the idea. He has the burden along with you. And so as you're carrying your burden, the Spirit of God is helping you do that. He's right there with you, and he is carrying the load. So likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weakness, you see. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. So here we have the Spirit, which is making intercession. Now, an intercessor is one who prays on the behalf of another. We have various prayers that we might make, or supplications that we might bring to God. A prayer might be just considered a general prayer, much the same as I opened with this morning in prayer. But an intercession is different, isn't it? When we supplicate God for something, there's some particular need, and we're just looking to God and provide that need, and we supplicate Him. Lord, this is my daily bread. Lord, would you bless my table today? Would you bless our family today? Would you minister to us through the things that we have today as we come together? But intercession, well, that's a little bit different, isn't it? That's when somebody is praying on the behalf of another, on another person. And we find this intercessor is the Holy Spirit. He intercedes for us. He's making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, some may have confused this particular line here with some sense of the tongue's movement or something. But that is not what it is. No, this is the work of the Spirit of God, and He's doing something for us. He is interceding for us. He is praying. You can't hear what the Spirit of God is praying, but you can take part in that particular intercession because you're praying, because you are actively fulfilling a role of prayer. Now, it appears that this is cooperative work here. Cooperative. In other words, if you're not doing anything to pray, if you're not praying, if you're completely ignoring prayer, well, perhaps the Spirit isn't completely groaning on your behalf the way that you would like. You just can't take it for granted that the Spirit of God is just going to all of a sudden pray for you. But if you are actively approaching God, if you are coming before God, and you know the Holy Spirit is there with you in that very thing, which the Scripture says that He is, then His groanings, His prayer, His utterances, which cannot be spoken of, utterances which God alone can hear, are being communicated for you, you see. And so if we understand this, then it takes the two of us. It takes both people on different ends of that dresser to move in intercessory prayer, because the Spirit is on one end and we're on the other, and we're asking the Lord, Lord, just help me to get this communicated the way that it should be, and that things may truly work out the way they should work out in my life. It is a full reliance on the Spirit of God as you are in prayer. Just like you are relying on that other person on the other end of the dresser to pick up their load. I mean, you can't pick up both ends from where you are. You're on one end and the Holy Spirit's on the other, and you're asking the Lord to help you get into the next room or wherever you need to take that dresser. You're asking the Holy Spirit to help you to fulfill the very thing that you are asking God for. He is interceding for you. He is in your place, interceding before the throne of God. In verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So God, who searches the hearts, God knows the heart, doesn't he? He knows our hearts. That's what we understand from the Spirit of God, that he knows us, and we find that he indwells us. So he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now again, saints, that's you and I, living, breathing, walking by faith, trusting God. We are the saints, and we are looking to God, and we're trusting him. Now, I know there's a kind of another view of saints, but we don't exactly go along with that view. I mean, we're not somebody, we're not a dead person. No, we're a living person. And as we are living and breathing and trusting and walking by faith, you see, the intercession for the saints is what? According to God. Well, you know, the words, the will of is the words that are supplied there. The translators, sometimes what they will do is supply some words to communicate the full intent of the Greek word that they are translating. And that, of course, is the case here. I mean, certainly we can't do without the will of God, can we, when the Holy Spirit is interceding for us? In fact, could there possibly be any intercession and we would know that God is really seeking to accomplish his purpose in our life if it wasn't in the will of God? Oh, you wouldn't. I mean, say, who am I praying to today? Well, no, we pray because we know God is listening. We pray because the Holy Spirit is that one who comes into our lives and makes us a new creation in Christ. We realize of the power of the Spirit of God. We realize that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, you see. So the translators, you know, they supply some of these words to help you to get the full intent of it. According to, leave out the other words and just read God. You can read it that way if you want to. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to God. And I think you get the same idea, don't you? It's the will of God by intent that we know the Spirit of God is interceding. By very intent we know that. And so we must be faithful in coming to the Lord and asking of him and realizing as well that God the Holy Spirit is right there with us. And he means that the Spirit is doing its work, his work, to accomplish in us those things that are according to, yes, the will of God. According to the will of God. Well, as we look a little further here in verse 28, we see it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, you know, when Paul wrote these words to the Christians at Rome, you know, sometimes we look at passages, you know, we kind of separate them, and in the original text, it just flows on and on and on. You know, it there's no separation here. It just keeps flowing. Isn't that comforting to know? And sometimes we jump into the scriptures. Take a verse and pull it out of context and throw it someplace else and say, oh, that must be what the Lord has for me today. And we just put it in there and we say, that's it. That's what I wanted to hear today. Well, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, there's good application in all the scripture. Good application. But here it is right here. He says, and we know that all things work together for good that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Well, see, they're just flowing naturally from the previous text. We find that he still has the Holy Spirit in view. And who is the Holy Spirit interceding for but you? You see, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. And what are we to take from this? that we might know that the Spirit of God is working for us, and that all of these things which God has meant for good should be accomplished in us. That they should be accomplished in us. You see, and I don't know about you, but I just love that. I just love the sense that God knows all these things. Just as the Holy Spirit is involved in your prayer life and my prayer life, God knows what's going on in my life. And God also knows that I am one of His saints, verse 27. I'm one of His saints. And because I am one of His saints that is sanctified and set apart and made holy unto Him, then I should know and we should be aware that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You see, sometimes we think, well, I don't know as the Lord answered my prayer. We make our intercession, our prayer unto the Lord. We sense the Holy Spirit must be listening. God must be getting the communication. I just don't know if it's being answered. Well, but in reality, as a Christian, as the Holy Spirit indwells you, as the Holy Spirit communicates for you, whatever the Holy Spirit and God bring to pass is the will of God, and it is what is best for you because He knows that you love God and that you are called according to His purpose. God knows that, and He is working in your life. Now, we don't always hear the end result immediately, do we? We pray and we ask the Lord and we communicate the best that we know how. God, the Holy Spirit, is telling God, the Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our great, of course, minister, high priest, if you will. And we get the truth. The truth is that He is being communicated to for us. But we need to wait on God. And whatever it is that God decides to answer in relationship to those things, it is the will of God. And we have to accept that, don't we? I can't think of a prayer, any prayer, that God did not answer. Each of us should be able to say that. Why? Because we only want the will of God and what He answers. What He decides. That's what we want. I can't think of a prayer that wasn't answered. And when you look back on it, you know, you kind of say about all these events and things that's taken place in your life, and you say, God was right there. God was with me. God was answering prayer. God was leading. God was making sure everything was going to work out the way that it should work out. You know, even in my mistakes. Even in my mistakes. God knows about my mistakes too, right? Yeah, He does. And so what does He do? Well, He might correct us a little bit in those mistakes. He might say, well, I've got something else for you this time. I'm going to have to kind of correct you a little bit so you can get back on track again. But that's according to the will of God. And what about the thing that He did answer the way that you thought perhaps God might answer it, and you prayed and hoped that He would answer it? Well, that's the will of God too. And He did that for you. You see? But if we believe that God is truly answering according to His will, then we know that whatever it is that God decides to give us for an answer, it is truly according to His purpose. In verse 29, of course, we love to take this passage and say quite a bit about it as far as the eternal purposes of God. And it does go there. It does say something about the eternal purposes of God. And I think it is probably best just to look at it and decide, well, if I am truly infilled with the Spirit of God, if I am truly led of the Spirit of God, God is truly answering my prayers according to His will, then verse 29 becomes the logical outcome of the whole matter. He says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. To the image of his... Well, you see, that does seem to be the purpose, isn't it? Of all that God is putting us through here, as we walk by faith, as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, as we accept those things that God answers in our lives by faith, what is he doing that we might be conformed to the image of God? Certainly that is a very important part of it, that we might be conformed to the image of God. And we know that the image of his Son is very important in our lives because Christ is the one who has died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, there's a lot of technical terms that can be spoken to in this matter, but I think it's enough for us to point out a couple of verses of Scripture. One that I would like to refer to is in 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Now, that verse left out a lot of those technical terms that we refer to here in this passage, but it is saying the same thing. It's saying the same thing. It says that God has saved us, that God has called us with a holy calling, that God is working in our lives according to his own purpose and his own will, according to his grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. So sometimes the bigger words that confuse us, the bigger technical words that we kind of struggle over and say, what does that really mean? Can be explained if we look in another place and see what the Lord is saying to us in a very plain vernacular. You know, God has truly a purpose, and God doesn't have his hands tied behind his back, and he isn't waiting for us to do something so he can do something. No, God had this pretty well figured out a long time ago. And what do we have to do but trust him and walk by faith? That's all we have to do. Just trust him and walk by faith. Pray and realize the Spirit of God is there with us and he's ministering to us and for our good. And so, as it stands in connection to this particular idea of God's working in us, it is, of course, according to the will of God and according to the will of God, even through Jesus Christ our Lord, before the world began. Before the world began. In verse 30, in Romans chapter 8, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Well, having settled the matter that God knew all about us, and God even called us through Jesus Christ our Lord from before the foundation of the world, then what does he say in verse 31? "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" To bring us back to the theme that I'm talking about this morning is this. If God the Holy Spirit, remember this is the triunity of the Godhead we're talking about, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If God the Holy Spirit is working all these things out in our lives, if God the Holy Spirit is truly the one behind this great work which is happening to us, not only to make us born again of God, born from above, but that we might be transformed in the image of his Son, then what does he say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What do we have to be concerned about? Who can possibly be against us? It doesn't matter if the world is against us. The one that matters is whether God is for us or against us. God is for us. That's what the Word of God says. If we're one of his own, if we have been born again by Spirit, then truly God is for us. He is not against us. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, referring back to this aspect of prayer and intercession and the Spirit's working, you think perhaps God does design to give you all things? That is, that are according to his will? That is, are going to be accomplished because you love him and are willing to accept whatever it is that he happens to design for your life? Yes. You see, we have to put things within the framework of what God is doing, not in the framework of what I want or in the framework of my own particular bent or lack of faith. No, or our limitations, our weaknesses. Remember, the Spirit of God prays for us because we do have infirmities and we don't know all things, but God does. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Well, if there was anyone who was going to lay something against us, well, the one that we don't want to lay anything against us is God. You know, we always want God on our side. And we realize that the world is against us. We know that the world is at enmity with God. The world does not appreciate God the way that we do. There's a lot of lip service given to God. You know, they use his name quite frequently. And, you know, the OMG people, you know, they're talking about God all the time, but they mean nothing like you and I mean. And I trust that you never use God's name vainly. We should always reverence the name of God. We should never use it carelessly like the OMG people do. No, never. Absolutely never. We always pray with reverence to our God and believe in Jesus Christ in reverence and know that he is the true Savior and know that God is the true and living God. And God the Holy Spirit is the true personality of the Godhead that fills us and gives us life and blessing. Yes, these things we know. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God is the one. We are justified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Notice the language of intercession is still being used. Intercession here, as well as intercession in verse 27. Intercession. God is in the business of interceding. He intercedes at different points for different reasons. Once we become a Christian, he is interceding because we love God and we want to know his will and his true purpose for us. He intercedes, of course, before we realize of that faith in Christ, because Jesus Christ had to intercede by his death, burial, and resurrection if we were ever to be born truly from above, you see. And so the intercession for us continues. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Well, All things by the Spirit is by the eternal purpose of God. All things by the Spirit is by the eternal purpose of God, you see. And yes, some people do have tribulation, do have distress, do have persecution, do have famine, do have nakedness, do have peril of sword, of violence against them, perpetrated against them. There are people who have these things brought against them. Just because we live in a country where we don't have that kind of violence brought against us on a daily basis, there are other people in other countries who do. And there are many Christians in those other countries who suffer under those same things. But is their faith to be shaken because of it? No. Is there any sense that God is somehow against them? No. Is there any sense that the Spirit of God does not know their very need and is interceding for them? Well, yes, He is interceding for them. Whether one is in peril or persecution or in peace and under the mercies of God, God's divine purposes are still being accomplished. Verse 36, as it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Of course, Paul is referencing the fact of the first century Christians and himself and of those things that were going on in that day. And he did suffer many things. And we know that to be true. And so as it is written, "For thy sakes," he says, "we are killed all the day long." The apostle was out there in the midst of the battle. He was out there doing the will of God. He was out there fighting the good fight of faith. He was out there running the race that he might obtain the prize. He knew that the Spirit of God was dwelling in him, and the purpose of God, the Spirit, was to intercede for him on his behalf because he was suffering under some of these things that were going on. Verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Paul realized of the victory that he had in Christ. We can realize of the victory that we have in Christ. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor UFOs." Is anybody's face kind of jostled around just a little bit because the government comes out and says, "Oh, there's UFOs"? Well, I want you to know that that doesn't shake anybody's faith who is truly founded and settled upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many principalities and powers against us, and they are out there. They are there. Well, we don't have to say, you know, that we don't believe or we do believe in UFOs. We believe in principalities and powers and those who are involved in darkness and the disobedience against God and those who are truly against Him and His Word. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that the world can come up with that can shake the faith of the true believer, the one who knows Christ as their Savior, the one who realizes the Spirit of God brought us into this new creation in Christ, that He is interceding for us, and that Jesus Christ Himself is our intercessor in salvation and our high priest even today. "Nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall," or creation, if you will, "or any entity of any kind shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, especially at this day and age in which we live, and we cannot help but realize that exponentially that things have gone into high gear. The world is gearing up for the mark of the beast. And we perhaps are experiencing things quite unlike any other generation in the world has ever experienced in any time. Not that the early Christians didn't suffer, and many of them, of course, were martyred terribly for it. But when we look around us in this world today, we realize that things have come a very long way from what they used to be. It's kind of like things are winding up in such a fashion that God is going to fulfill his word in the end of the age. Jesus will return in his own time, according to the will of the Father. And so he says, I am not persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature or creation of man or beast or anything else shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord, do not need to fear anything. Do not need to fear anything. For God, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, dwells within. He is communicating to God the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our great intercessor with Christ. And that we have every reason to hope and to know that the will of God will be accomplished according to his purpose from the very foundations of the world, because Christ himself has said it and was there. The eternality of the Godhead is true. And we know him. And he loves us according to his divine purpose and will to accomplish his purposes in us, that we might be conformed unto the image of his Son. And bless his name forever. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you, Father, that you minister it to us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that there's no error in any of those things which are according to your will and your purpose that you accomplish. And that every utterance of our heart before you, Lord, is only communicated rightly by the Holy Spirit of God, that we may have full assurance of faith, that every prayer is answered in the right way, for the right purpose, that we might be conformed unto the image of his Son. And so we give thanks and prayer to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.